We are updating the snow list. It'll be posted on the bulletin board, and you can make any changes that you need to. Also, our annual business meeting and the second session, Sunday, March 12th. All right, let's get ourselves, if you need to, where you need to be in terms of what we've been studying here, and the recognition that the Christian life is a supernatural way of life, and that the filling of the Holy Spirit is a supernatural phenomena that we are to aspire to as believers in time. This is going to be the basis for our rewards and our well-being before God in time. So the on the top of the list of virtues is the virtue of love. The virtue of love is transcendent in that it is the Holy Spirit in genuine control in the believer, and the believer is acting in accordance with the dictates of love, which we reviewed somewhat in 1 Corinthians 13, giving you examples of what love is in the positive and what love isn't in the negative. It's not real complicated. It's simply a matter of the self-discipline that we are to exhibit and to stay in fellowship under the very situations that we face when we find ourselves out to rebound, recoup, and do the right thing, if we do. All right, love is the perfect bond of unity. So I didn't make, I know the word bond is something that is tied together. So as bond of perfection, or as objective genitive, I noted in point 17. It's a question here interpretatively, taken as an objective genitive. Paul would be setting forth the ultimate goal of maintaining and exhibiting the attribute of love within the local church, and that is the maturity adjustment. Interestingly, joints and ligaments of 219 refers to the function of the communication gifts necessary to that end with regard to the body metaphor, all the other parts function in connection with the joints and the ligaments. A ligament being something that binds one part, one area to the other. But taken as an objective genity, the idea is the perfect bond of unity which is necessary to the health of any local church. And it's something you have to work on, strive for, to attain. That there are not unnecessary divisions and factions and so forth within the local church. Yes, people have their own social niche, their own people they tend to be more around. More often that's perfectly natural. Even Jesus had disciples that were, quote, inner circle at and he had friends, you know, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus that he hung out with, as it were, in Bethany. He enjoyed their company. And so as a social person, he associated. But isolating yourself, separating yourself from the royal family, living, withdrawing from everybody, this isn't healthy. There has to be a balance between it, and of course, that's for you to determine between you and God. I don't have any friends. Well, maybe it's your fault in the sense that you don't pray about it and you don't have any associations. Pray about it. Let God work it out, and you'll have the right people around you at the right time. It's an area of blessing in time. Okay, let's move on here from the unity factor. Obviously, if we're all in fellowship, we're applying doctrine, at that point, we're unified. That's the way we're going to be forever. We're not going to be at odds with each other. We're going to be that way forever. So if we can exemplify it to a degree in time, where people can observe us and say, those people really go all out for one another. And I've heard these witnesses to this fact, that you have people in crises or in different kinds of situations, that they have positive volition. The royal family rallies around them and helps them in a lot of different ways. And the outside sees that. They see that. In the world, people are all busy with their own stuff and token visits maybe, but they're not going to go out for anybody, really out for anybody. And that's a witness for us, is that people see that we are there for one another, that we love one another. Because we all are going to go through a variety of different things. And all of us can't obviously do the same thing, but all of us can be aware if we are, and at least pray for the person in the situation that they're facing. I covet those things as an individual, and I'm sure I get them. And I thank God for the prayers that you offer up on my behalf. God knows I need them. So thank you. I'm grateful to you and to God foremost for making this possible, that you support your pastor, teacher in a variety of ways, but prayer before the throne of grace. Because you need your spiritual leader, and you need him in good order in all respects. So continue to do that. It's a plug for myself right there, but that's okay. Any of you can ask someone, pray for me. Pray for the situation. And if you say yes, be sure you do it. Nope. So there's a phenomenal dynamic in prayer. And I worry sometimes that I don't exploit it like I ought to. Not worry enough. Concern myself with it. 22, Paul perhaps is challenging the false ideas of perfection promoted by the false teachers. Because they have their little agenda. This is what's spiritual. This is what's really where it's at. It's all mystical, and it's involved in all this extremism and all of it. No, it's not there. I think to myself all the time, this is basic Christian theology. And yet, churches are not promoting this. They're not. Believers aren't being challenged to get yourself in fellowship. They may be told to be kind and be nice and be thoughtful and be helpful, but they're not told what we're up against and how we have to deal with this on a daily basis. From this, Paul issues another admonition to the Colossians. Let rule, present active imperative, brabuo, act as an empire, judge, rule. Only here in the New Testament, really, it leaves us. What is to act as a judge over you? It is the doctrine you have and the promises you know relative to situations that could upset your peace. I need to be at peace about this. How often we are not about things. We are uptight. We are wound tight. The peace of Christ, let the peace of Christ, is a genitive of source, and here refers to inner peace versus being out of fellowship under fear, anxiety, and all the bad side effects associated with that. Trying to fix things when you can't fix things, knowing when to let go and let God, as they say, instead of getting all worked up about something, things will take care of themselves. God's for you. If you desire to do the right thing, well, I just got to get this done, and I'm being frustrated. Okay, back off. It isn't, at this point, your skids aren't being greased, so you need to back off. God will work it out. It's very hard for us as humans to do that because we want everything neat and in order and guaranteed and up front and in place. As the cosmos says, good luck. Philippians 4:7. we have the peace of God. The phrase peace of Christ is not found elsewhere. That those like that. But the idea is, obviously, but not the exact phrase. A favorite verse of mine, and one we always need to think about and meditate on and reflect upon, under times of duress and stress, we're all under various kinds of pressures and stresses in life. Job test, marital test, kids test, financial, of course, health, which seems to be on the rise in Maranatha Church for whatever reasons. It's just, you know, it's just a cursory object observation. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing. The word merimnao means to be anxious, worry about. Be anxious for nothing. Are you kidding me? There's nothing? I'm not supposed to be anxious about anything? Well, what if this happens? Aren't I supposed to be anxious and worked up? No, not technically, no. You're to find yourself in fellowship, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Supplication is another word for prayer, which means more intense prayer because it forces you to be more intense in certain situations. There's just general prayer and there's supplication. With thanksgiving, don't drop that out of the recipe. Where's the salt? You didn't add any? Well, this isn't any good. So thanksgiving is always to be somewhere woven through your prayers. You can offer thanks up anytime, any place, for anything, for a nice day, for, you know, a good experience, for deliverance, for all kinds of things. Obviously for your salvation, that you found the truth here on this earth, that God brought you to Maranatha. You remember back then, don't you, in the circumstances? They might not have been pretty. They might have been, but they might not have been. But what happened got you here and satisfied that desire you had, that longing that you weren't finding anywhere else. You can be thankful for the tiniest, smallest, what someone might say, silliest things. Thank you. You can be thankful. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, God knows everything, and He knows what you ought to pray before you pray it, because He's omniscient. But it is the principle, if you don't pray for things, then certain things aren't going to happen. They're just not going to happen. You didn't ask for it, right? So you don't get it. That's one way prayer is shot down. You can shoot prayer down by a number of ways. Being out of fellowship, asking for something under your lust pattern. Sometimes that's hard to decide what the difference is. It's not all cut and dried. Sometimes it's cut and dried. Sometimes it isn't. You have to think about this. If you want a new living room suit, and you technically don't need one, the legs aren't falling off of yours, they're in big holes in the upholstery, you know, springs popping out. It isn't that, filthy as it can be. No, you just want a new bedroom suit. Pray about it. You don't need one, but you want one. So you pray about it. The difference between, you know, just, I want this, so I'm going to go get it no matter what, and God reads the mental attitude. You see, when the Israelites were stuffing quail in their face, that's a perfect example. There's the difference. They were complaining, to use the polite term, constantly about that manna we have to eat. This superfood. Perfectly designed. Thank you, God, for this food that's so easy to deal with out here in the desert where we can't prepare elaborate meals and slaughter animals and grow tomatoes and whatever the rest. We just can't do it. Thank you. Well, and we're going to miss this when it's gone.
Not those clowns yelling and screaming and always complaining. You know, why can't we have quail and the goodies like we had when we were in such a wonderful situation down in Egypt? When we had meat pots with garlic and all that good stuff. We don't have that now. See, that's a nasty attitude. That's why we studied these things, people. So if you're not living, as they say, on the proverbial high on the hog, you be thankful with what God's given you and what He sets in front of you. Because food doesn't commend anybody to God. Oh, I'm impressed with those people because they're eating. No, He isn't impressed with that. Lay all the food out in the world. The Lord's going to provide a great banquet in the millennium for all of us. Yeah, food will be featured. But the Israelites weren't thankful. When they got their STA-sponsored request in nasty terms for a break, and God brings these migratory birds so close to the ground, all they have to do is go out and beat them to the ground. And they fixed up all this quail. And they're eating it in a most disgusting way. Gluttony's being committed, and a lot of them died with quail in their mouth. How'd you get to the afterlife? God choked me to death on quail. That is not a very honorable way to check out. They could have just said, Moses, would you pray? We're praying. It is our request. We want quail. We had it before. We want it again. That'd be cool. No, not that crowd. So it was, they didn't need quail to be healthy, did they? No. They desired a little different meal to be provided. So when people say to you, well, you don't need that, that's beside the point. I desire it. And I'm going to pray for it. And I'm going to hopefully God will bring it to pass. And if He doesn't, then I don't need it either. And it isn't right for me. People are all caught up today in a lot of lusting for things they think will make them complete. It's enslavement. It's all over the place. You might desire a new vehicle, pray about it, do some research, and let God lead you to the right place at the right time. That's really cool when that happens, because you see it. If you're in fellowship, if you're in a situation and you're dealing with it and it doesn't seem right, thanks, but no thanks. This isn't right. I got all the wrong vibes here. Not because of the salesman, it's just not working here. I need to go home and maybe I'll pray about it and work it out. God will bring you to these kind of things. And He does it in remarkable ways. But if you don't have that mental attitude and you're just lusting and striving and lunging and making mistakes, what's the end result? When God does it and it's right, you go, that's right. That's perfect. God did it. And I've taught you that you put things like this, I will bring it to pass, God will set it up, He'll make it work. Whatever it is, fill in the blank, if it's legitimate. It's not obviously a sinful thing. Pray about it. And He also has a time schedule. Later, not now. Or maybe now, or not at all. That's for the individual believer priest to figure out. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In the midst of times when you and I want to be wrapped real tight about something, anxious about something, let's say we really need or we feel we need. Treat God like a human father and say, I need this. I'm making this request known to you. Work this out for me. However you want to work this out, you work it out. I am not supposed to fret and worry and resort to all the things people do when they do that. See, this is our class for relieving you from a lot of this. And we've gone over it again and again. Like the child that wants a dog, but the parents don't want a dog. So the child prays that God will change the parent's mind. And is patient with regard to it. And the dog pops up, and the parents like the dog, and they wind up, and everybody's happy. God works this out. It's happened to people. It's an obvious thing. Your child's prayers can be answered too. And even maybe in an area that maybe even overrides you, or your wife. Honey, I found a place. I found the perfect place. Nah, I'm ahead. I got to find it for myself. God couldn't use your wife, right? He couldn't use her to find the perfect place because you're the man. Don't kid yourself. God will humble you that way. He'll humble you right and left. God used her. She found it. You had enough sense to realize, yeah, that's the real deal. That's good. That's a good object lesson for me. I have to remember that. God blesses her too. She's the one that found it. And I'm the one that says, that's the right thing. I couldn't have done better myself. Thank you, God. And thank you, wife. Let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. This is supernatural. Will guard. This word means to hold someone as a prisoner. It means to garrison troops. Prureo. Okay. Hold prisoner. Garrison. Guard. Stand as a guard. Your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Where you can go through the storms of life and have inner peace. People have told me, and I've had it. This is I just have peace, and I'm in the eye of the hurricane, and all this is coming down, and I just have peace. God's with me in it. You could have it, and suddenly losing a job and being without employment, and wondering where you're going to wind up. You can have peace about these things, or a bad diagnosis with regard to a health issue. It may take you a little bit to get on top of it, but you can get on top of it. See? All these things. Where worry is a sin, does not glorify God, makes you miserable, and apt to do things you shouldn't be doing. That's clear enough. This should not rule in our lives. Fear, anxiety, worry, and so forth. Take your little list, your little worry list, write it all out. These are the things I worry about, God. I'm going to quit worrying about these things. It's not profitable. It doesn't glorify you, and I don't have inner peace when I do it. And someone looking at you thinks, well, they just don't care. If you're not worrying, you don't care. Are you kidding me? Yeah, you care, but you have peace. Your loved one's in a bad way physically, you have peace about it. God's taking care of this. Why should I get up here and run around and fall apart? That's what they do on TV. In their dramas. People have things happen and they are all coming apart. Aren't they? The STA is on display. Well, it's just normal for people to be concerned about a little baby that's sick and could die. But what good? What are they doing? Of course, they have no doctrines. In most cases, they're portraying people. But in most cases, these people aren't even believers. They have no hope. So, well, they get what they deserve. They really do. But not for us. I have peace. God takes my child to heaven. He takes my child to heaven. I'll miss him, her, but that's the way it goes. I'm not the first one to lose something. But I want to be one of them that handles it and glorifies God in time. I want to step up to the plate and not be a basket case and all this stuff that people are under. You ever had a situation in your life with regard to yourself, with regard to a loved one or someone else, where you're all worked up 24/7, can't sleep, lost your appetite, and you're running all around trying to figure out what to do? You think that's of God? That's what the Exodus generation would do. That's how they'd act. You know, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He's running the show. He's running these things.
So this is a very important verse for us as far as acclimation to circumstances in life, because we're all going to face various threats and things before this game's over. Things are going to happen. And in the worst set of circumstances that can befall a believer, God will not forsake you. He will not leave you. He will be with you in your greatest difficulties. And He'll see you out of them or into heaven, one way or another. All you're concerned with, primarily, is doing it right. Being in fellowship. Getting my crown. Ending this in the way I'm supposed to. Versus all this other stuff. Not going to be robbed of this. The verb rule incorporates the sense of judge, decide, and is the base for maintaining faith rest. Notice Psalm 56:3. The psalmist doesn't say, the King James translation is misleading, which was always one that stuck in my head until I looked this up and realized that's off. It gives a false impression. I think it says something like, what time I am afraid, I will trust in the Lord. Well, that sounds good and that's fine. But this isn't what he says. When I'm afraid, when I'm flat out of fellowship, boom, I'm going to put the brakes on that and I'll put my trust in the Lord. That's your instant. Rebound the sin. Okay, God, I confess it. Now I'm going to get in fellowship. Well, let's try this. Because the situation isn't changing out there because I'm afraid. No. The situation remains. The threat or the situation remains intact. So when I am afraid, I will trust in the Lord. Isn't it good to be able to say, I'm trusting God for this? He's in front of me. He's the one. Also, John 14:27, Christ's peace. Peace I leave with you. That's the Holy Spirit in us and controlling us. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. That can be easily illustrated. People, how's life? Oh, life is good. Everything couldn't be better. Punch a hole in that. Pose a real threat. They're not singing that song, are they? They start freaking out. And they're miserable and messed up until it goes away. So they can go back to, oh, things are just great. That's the peace of the world. That's the cosmos peace. Pleasant, favorable circumstances. And if we have favorable and pleasant circumstances, then you've got cosmos peace. Yeah, it's good. It's nice to be relaxed. You got all the money you want. Your health is great. You got a good marriage. And you got all these little things. And all this is going well. Anybody knows that isn't going to last. Something's going to happen before they're out of here. That's cosmos peace. The peace that Jesus gives means that you can be under maximum threat, threat of life, threat of this, name it. You can have peace. And that peace is what Christ has given. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. We have the words of Jesus Himself telling you to quit worrying about stuff. How do you deal with a believer that comes to you all wrapped up and I don't know about this and this and this and this and this and this? You worrying about it? No, I'm just telling you. Okay. Well, I'll pray for you. You know, what can I do? Anything I can do to help you a little bit? I'll be glad to, if I can. These frantic calls, all the usual stuff. You're not in the will of God. You're sinning. You are sinning. You are out of fellowship. You are a little child that the parents knows the circumstance is not what they are blowing it up to be, and everything's going to be fine. And they are having a meltdown. Okay? Because they are caught in fear. Fear is a sin. It does not glorify God. If you're having troubles and circumstances and tests, then maybe it's designed to get you to pray more seriously. You have to judge your own life. I can't judge this for you. Maybe you are neglecting some basic things. In your circumstances that have changed, and now you've got what you want and all the rest of it, there's a trap there. That you just keep building your happiness on, I got what I want. And what you want is fine, bona fide, and a blessing of God. But your focus, and you have to be looking at God. The old is gone. God brought me into this. Everything's great now. And if your thoughts and your actions are not on Him, the man whose mind is on the Lord, who's occupied with God, who thinks about Him repeatedly in the little things and everything in life, that's a person that's in a lot better situation. Because they're constantly offering up prayers, albeit little ones. They're throwing up prayers in fellowship. And it isn't a burden on God. Bless me in this, God. I'm going to get this done. Yeah, it's for my own. It's just for me. But bless me in it. Be with me. Thank you ahead of time. Boom. Away we go. Whatever you need. Paul says here, to which indeed you are called. You are called to peace. Under the doctrine of election, the elect of God, or the synonymous term predestination, we were called to a state of inner peace. We have positional peace with God. We are no longer under the indictment of the pre-salvation condition. So we have that peace. We don't have to worry. Make your peace with God. Blah, blah, blah. I already did. I got salvation. I made peace with God. He offered me this thing I couldn't refuse. And I believed in Him. And I have peace. I don't have to worry about the afterlife in that respect. Now, I've got to live in peace. I got to walk in peace. Jesus wasn't a basket case. Jesus wasn't falling apart. And all that was going on around Him. And it tried His soul, but he lived under peace. Of course, He had something to go through that none of us will have to go through. We're called, aorist active indicative, refers to the conversion of these Gentiles. In one body refers to the mystery doctrine of the dispensation of the church, which you appreciate. We were called in one body. We are part of the church. This is something we can celebrate. Royalty and people of high places and blue bloods and all these people, they celebrate their lineage. They celebrate their birth and who they are and their name. We celebrate who we are. We are a royal family of God, and it'll stand out above all others. We're in the church. We're bride of Christ, body of Christ, royal family, individual members of it. And that's important. Who are you? You're royalty. Act like it. Live like it. Enjoy it. We were called in one body. The summons to let peace rule in the hearts is followed but with the admonition to be thankful. All this you need to be thankful for. You can go out of here today, you can go out of here today and say, all right, God, I want to do a whole lot better. And that would include all of us. I want to do better with regard to this matter of not worrying about stuff. Because I know you don't want me to be worrying. You know that I have a tendency at times to worry. Maybe bigger than others. But this isn't any fun, and I don't want to do it. So I'm going to trust you, and we're going to work these things out with, and I want to have inner peace about it all. I want to faith rest stuff. Thank you, Father, for the time together. May God the Holy Spirit enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.